You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fornelli. That's Ben Kirchival. I'm Chip Patterson. And gentlemen, this is, I guess, right about now. And I don't mean to bring it up in a sad way because it does transition. But we are recording here. It is 12:18 on the East Coast on a Thursday, which means that whatever the 3:14 first round game in Spokane would probably be going right now. So we just go. But we can bring you some March Madness and some Bracket Madness, and it is in the form of our 90s pop songs bracket. Tom, Ben, how are we doing?
I just tweeted. I said this year I finally knew what Channel True TV was. Like, I remembered, but I don't need to now.
Sad. Unless you want to watch Practical Jokers.
I don't.
Okay. Ben, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. Day five of quarantine? Day six.
It's all blending together.
I've started to, and when you work from home, so a lot of people around the country are starting to get this work from home in successive days, really for the first time maybe ever. Obviously all of us know what that's like, other than in college football season. Like, we know when Saturday is, but every other day it is a total toss-up on whether I'm gonna know if it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday or whatever it is. And then obviously when you couple this on top of it, I don't know what day it is. I finally shaved my apocalypse beard. I mean, it had been going like pretty strong. And but the nice thing is, Sarah, my fiance, and I, we have done a lot of apartment cleaning. We've done a lot of baking. So we've been like home ecking it up really hard over the past week. And that has been productive.
Very impressive. Ben, yeah. As you know, friends of the podcast know, Ben, excellent college football work at CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. He was the man on the scene with all the breakdowns for the XFL. And now you have been tasked and you have put in the hard sweat labor and prepared your men, like you've got to guard your mentions with a sword when we talk about something as opinionated as music and the 90s pop music bracket. Now it's up and running on CBSSports.com. We told you about it on the first podcast of the week, and we are going to circle back up next week to review some of the results. We've got the first round completed in two of our regions so far, the radio region and the MP3 region. The CD region and the cassette region are open for voting on Thursday. So those of you who are listening to this, you probably still have time to go and vote in some of those regions. I like this, Ben, at least in terms of the way that we are responding to some of the fans, because it is a 64 song bracket and it has some qualifications, right? So you've got to have been a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 at some point in the 90s to even make the field. And then our seeding process was based on how many weeks you had at number one. And so, Ben, I look at it and I'm like, man, this is something that, if you have an issue with the song selected or if you have an issue with the seeding of the songs, then you really can only blame yourself, because it has been us all along that have been seeding this bracket.
Look at yourself in the mirror, America. This is what you asked for when you listened to those songs. And you mentioned that you had to be a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100. If you go 64 songs down into that, there are songs, Chip, that have been a number one hit for more than a week, right? Let's say they've been a number hit for two, maybe even 3 weeks, and you still didn't qualify just based on the fact that the number of selections are what they are. You only have so many spots to fill. So you're looking through and you can look at like Smells Like Teen Spirit, a song that absolutely defined the decade, changed rock music forever by one of the biggest bands in the history of the genre, not on the bracket, not on the list, didn't have a number one hit for successive weeks. So they're not on there. And when you have guidelines like that, it gives you a real nice basic structure that you can work off of, that it's not just totally subjective. It's not just me saying, here are the 64 best songs from the 1990s. Because that would basically, Space Hog would be like every number one seed for every region. Like that would be my, that would be my 90s music bracket. And, but at the same time, you omit a lot of really awesome songs. And look, I'm a child of the 90s. You're a child of the 90s. Tom's a child of the Great Depression, but that's like something else. But like, I grew up in the 90s, so I listened to 90s music. My dad was and still is in radio, and part of the ownership of the radio station that he worked for was a top 40 station. It was WVAQ. So it was always on in the car, and whenever I would go into work with him, it's always on the PA system in the radio station. So a lot of these songs I remember. But one thing I did not realize was Mariah Carey had like a dozen number one hits.
Oh, God, yeah.
She had a ton. I didn't realize that.
She owned that decade, man.
Owned it. I mean, I know like Soft Adult Contemporary was big. Holy cow, I forgot how big it was. Goodness gracious. If you had – because every song in the 90s had chimes at the beginning of it. That's how you knew it was about to drop. You had like this little shingle of chimes that would go down. You're like, oh, man, Mariah Carey's about to bust it out. And that's what it was.
So why do you think I was born late 80s, mid to late 80s. And
Are you so afraid to say the year?
1987. How about it? There you go.
Hey,
there you go.
It's couple same year as Appetite for Destruction. That's what I always identify.
He's worried like the 1986 heads are going to come get him if he says 1987.
Yeah, dude. You know, I don't know, man. All right, so Tom, this is why I defer to you. Why do you think that soft rock and like soft, like easy contemporary music had such a moment in the 90s?
First of all, I was born sometime between 1980 and 1990, but I don't, I mean, I
had you as like 75.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just think, I don't know, man. I feel like, I don't think it was like a moment, because I think if we go back through musical history, there's always been that kind of softer pop rockish kind of thing. I think what it probably was, heading into the 90s is kind of like we saw with TV, where, you know, all of a sudden you went from like having four networks to having, you know, like cable television and anything you could want. We kind of saw that same thing with radio, where with FM becoming a real thing, there was a radio station for every single taste now. And I think that just kind of pushed, and they probably just saw, you know, based on record sales, that the kind of adult contemporary stuff was selling well because adults were the ones with money.
Well, that is a fantastic bridge into the biggest news of the 90s pop music bracket so far, because we've mentioned Mariah Carey, the absolute capital D diva with nearly a dozen number one hits. Boyz II Men, another anchor of the Billboard Hot 100. They teamed up for a R&B banger, One Sweet Day. Just crushed the Billboard charts. Just absolutely tore them down. But just like Virginia, the number one overall seed in the 2018 NCAA tournament, One Sweet Day has fallen. There has been an upset. Adult Contemporary goes down, and it happens at the hands of three slightly pubescent young men.
Slightly pubescent.
Well, I was going to say prepubescent, but didn't they range like 18, 15?
There was the one that had definitely hit puberty because he was like 6'10", while the other two were like 5'3".
Yeah. He was the guitarist, right? We were youngest on drums was probably like 11 or something.
Yeah, so there was, and I cannot believe off the top of my head I know this. It was Zach on the drums. it was Taylor Hansen on the keyboard and lead vocals. And then there was the guy who was already shaving on guitar and definitely had the low voice. Like the other two guys, you know, it hadn't quite dropped as far as the vocals were concerned. They were still hitting like high altos, but he was definitely like already sporting dad jeans. And yeah, he was way more mature. And he's the only one that I don't remember his name.
With 57% of the votes, Hanson's Mbop takes down One Sweet Day. Ben, you called your shot a little bit when you were laying it out. I guess for like your reaction there, and then also were there any others as like the you were laying out the seeding? Were there any other times where you recognized that maybe a fan favorite was going to end up criminally underseeded the way that Mbop was as a 16?
Oh, yeah. And so this was my sort of general observation was we just talked about how like adult soft rock contemporary hits really dominated the boards. But that doesn't always translate into the people who are on Twitter and the people who are going to vote in this type of thing. And music is so subjective where, you know, something that was really popular, you know, 25, 30 years ago, at the time, may not have the same historical significance as something that is seated much lower and was obviously still a number one hit and still a number one hit for successive weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks or whatever it was, but one that just has more cultural relevance, you know, 2-3 decades later, and Mbop was obviously one of those selections. And so again, when you compare it side by side in terms of weeks at number one, obviously One Sweet Day absolutely crushed it. But when you, like, if you were just to look at it, take away the seating, and you were to say One Sweet Day and Mbop, Chip, which is the one that you remember? It's Mbop.
Well, I mean, sure. Okay. I can rock with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You might have known One Sweet Day, but I'm saying, like, if you were to put those two songs side by side, which is the one that has more like overall recognition?
Mbop, probably.
Yeah,
it's probably the dumber song.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's got like three words.
Yeah, and the other two of the three you can't understand. Like it was just a bunch of like skit scatting. Right. And so that was the one that people understood. And so sometimes with these lower seeds, you get the ones that again still number one hits. They still like qualify as songs that everybody knows, but they just have more of kind of a relevance years later to the people who are online and on Twitter. And then on top of that, I get the feeling sometimes people will vote on artist over song.
Ooh.
Like if they liked, and I don't know that that's necessarily the case with Hanson, but like if you liked a certain song or a certain artist, you might just go with them. Like people love Notorious B.I.G. That's another 16-1. They upset the Macarena, which is not difficult because I think Macarena really kind of wore out its welcome very, very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, but right. So like that's the other thing is if you might have been really popular at the time, but if that's one of those things where even a year later, people were going, "Oh God, not this song," then it, you know, came in a flash and it left in a flash. Whereas Notorious B.I.G., people years later still revere him as an artist. And so people are going to go with that over something that in 1995 couldn't get off of top 40 radio if it tried.
If you're a huge Hanson fan, are you a Stanson?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And have you followed the lives and careers of all three of them since?
Oh, who hasn't?
One
of them's got to be an accountant.
It's the guitarist.
Yeah.
It's the older
He was actually an accountant when the song came out.
Yeah, now he's actually partnering. Now he's a partner in the firm that he was working
He actually, H&R Block, the H stands for Hanson.
A lot of people don't know that. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people
Learned
don't know
something
it.
Here.
Was there a second Hanson hit?
No.
Yeah. I wonder if, and this is... I want in the results, when you mention voting for artist over song, I cannot tell you how the song That's the Way Love Goes sounds in my head. I can tell you Angel of Mine by Monica. Yes, please sing it for me. But 66% over 34%, Janet Jackson takes down Monica. I wonder if that's just Janet Jackson love.
No, that's the song.
Sing That's the Way Love Goes. I don't have it in my head right now.
I'm not singing that. I'm not singing. I'm not singing on this freaking podcast.
And the 15-minute mark, note. All right, let's review
We're not talking about college football, so I just go into regular conversational matter.
Hey, this is what the people are coming for. So let's review the Radio Region first round results. You can go see them on CBSSports.com college football page. It's right there on the homepage. 90s pop song bracket. All right, we mentioned M-Bop, 16 seed takes down 1 seed, One Sweet Day. Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? Bryan Adams, the 9 seed, takes down 8 seed Rush Rush by Paula Abdul. Creep, the 12 seed that by TLC, takes down I Do It For You by Bryan Adams with a real. By the way, Bryan Adams also a lot of appearances in this bracket. Yep. Creep, 63% to 37%, 12 seed over a 5. We mentioned That's the Way Love Goes, a lot, pretty much dominance over Monica's Angel of Mine. That is a 4 seed, That's the Way Love Goes. The 6 seed, Take a Bow by Madonna, wins handily over the 11 seed, Because I Love You by Stevie B. Let's see. Then we've got, oh man, I Swear, what a strong song and a strong performance.
Moon and the Stars in the Sky.
The 3 seed, I Swear, by All for One, 72% of the votes, takes down Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract. Then we've got Boyz II Men, and again, all over this place, beats out J-Lo. I mean, J-Lo even, you know, with the Super Bowl and with the year that she's had, both on screen and in music, did the J-Lo Hive didn't show up for this one as much as the Boyz II Men peeps. On Bended Knee, 64%, 7 seed advances over the 10 seed J-Lo. And then Something About the Way You Look Tonight, Elton John, 74%. That is a 2 seed, taking down the 15 seed Love Takes Time. So anything, Ben, from the Radio Region, outside of some of those matchups that we've mentioned, that surprised you?
So, first of all, there's only one Bryan Adams song that I like, and it's the one that lost. So, Everything I Do It For You, because that's the one that is just so bad it's good. And, yeah, that one, freaking ballad, didn't get it done. But I feel like that was a bad matchup, because Creep, Chip,
is a juggernaut.
I think it's TLC's best song, even before Waterfalls and No Scrubs. And I got to be honest, I think it's going to make a Cinderella run. Not necessarily because it's like this amazing song, I like it, but because I think it gets that nice matchup. You know, I feel like its path to the out of the first weekend, maybe out of the Sweet 16, sets up pretty favorably for it. So I feel like Creep as a 12 seed might be able to make a little bit of a run. And that was the thing that I was thinking about coming into this, was I feel like some higher seeds are really going to have a chance here, and that's one of them for sure.
Tom, you
like
see anything?
TLC's got a good chance to get a few songs deep, though. Like, we could be chanting TLC like we would chant SEC.
Oh.
This thing's done.
Wow.
As far as results, I mean, I voted for Rush Rush. That lost. I voted for Creep. That one. I voted for That's the Way Love Goes. That one. I voted for Take a Bow, although that really wasn't about the song, because as far as Madonna songs go, I've always felt like that was one of her weaker songs.
I agree.
But it did come out at a time in my life where the video for that song, very strong. I Swear. I liked Opposites Attract, but I could not deny the power of I Swear.
And I then Swear. That changed like high school dances forever.
Yeah,
that's
a staple.
Yeah.
And then on Bended Knee, I mean, you know, that's, it's Boys to Men, but that was their big kind of, that song was on the radio for like 5 years straight.
You want to talk about music videos? You ever notice how like every Boys to Men video has some like some strange glow up filter on it?
Yes.
Every single one.
Yes.
Everyone, they were behind some kind of, what was the lighting on those things?
Well, they just figured it out.
It's like when they went to the fisheye with Puffy. Like that was their brand, was to have like that weird kind of glow.
Yeah. Also, all of those guys needed a tailor. Every last one of them. Those guys were wearing dress shirts that they found at like Salvation Army, man. They were just, they were two sizes too big, and they were wearing it. They were wearing blue with like, like a brown striped tie. And I'm sitting there going, bro, what are you doing? None of this seems right.
It was the 90s, man.
Yeah.
There were no laws.
What? So 90s, you just pieced things together for a three-piece suit? Like you just went into a bin?
Listen, man, come the late 90s, I was wearing jeans that were like a foot and a half wide per leg. You know what I'm saying? I can't be judging what other people were wearing.
What were those called?
Jinkos.
Jinkos.
Oh, man. Yeah. The pockets that were like you could fit a laptop in.
Like, yeah, I was putting my chemistry book in my back pocket of my jeans.
Like you walking had
around the hallway.
Yeah, you had the like the tight slickness of 80s had rubber band the other way, and you just wanted to be loud. You just wanted to be like as like colorful and loud and big, and who cares if this is this two sizes too big. I do like your call about the lighting, because it definitely seems like the fisheye lens, something that they figured out. And because we didn't have the taglines on songs yet, Maybach music, you just had to do it in your music video. So respect to the hustle, without a doubt. Coming up on the other side, we will break down the results from the MP3 region and preview what's to come, the songs and the matchups that you can vote on. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you mentioned the Macarena, the one seed in the MP3 region, falls at the hands of the 16 seed Hypnotize. Run through it real quick. We got a close matchup. Livin' La Vida Loca in the 8-9, the 9 seed, takes down Meatloaf's I Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That, 55-45. Then in the 5-12, we've got another 12 seed. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. The Bruce Willis, Armageddon.
Like driving the car down Liv Tyler's leg.
Yeah. 67% Can't Help Falling in Love over the 5 seed, Can't Help Falling in Love with You by UB40. That seems like a late 90s versus early 90s matchup that did not fare well for UB40. Oh my goodness. The Crossroads by Bone Thugs. That's got to be another one that we got to look at. There have been some teams that have made deep runs in the real NCAA tournament from the 4 line. Crossroads at the 4 seed, 75-25 over Michael Bolton's How Am I Supposed to Live Without You. The Sign, Ace of Base, banger, 61% winner against Bump and Grind by R. Kelly. Right?
Not great.
just hoping R. Kelly gets out of here as quick as possible.
Yeah. we can't I mean, honestly, should I judge the 39% that stuck with it, or is that separate art from the artist? We got to at least like allow them that. No, I can judge.
No, you can totally judge. Okay. That's a. It's not even R. Kelly's best song. If you hit me with a little bit of Remix to Ignition, I can at least be like, okay, you know, I can separate a little bit there. You're gonna get Bump and Grind?
Yeah. No,
I don't see nothing wrong with a little Bump and Grind. I do, actually, in this case.
There's a lot wrong with it.
But like you said, too, The Sign is a banger, so The Sign should win regardless.
It's on merit.
Of R. Kelly's extracurriculars.
One of the most dominant performances of the first round in the 90s pop song bracket was already a strong performer heading into it. And this is what, you know, we've talked about early 90s versus late 90s, what's going to play well on Twitter. Well, Jump by Crisscross thumped New Kids on the Block Step by Step, 80-20. So Crisscross advances on to the next round. Then we've got Vision of Love by Mariah Carey, 65-35 over R. Kelly and Celine Dion's I'm Your Angel. And then Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas takes down Mr. Big to Be With You, 75-25. I guess, Tom, you first here. Which of these matchups stood out to you?
I mean, I voted for I'd Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that. I love that song. I think that song is better than Livin' La Vida Loca. I'm disappointed that it lost. I would have had it losing in the second round to Hypnotize either way, but I do think it deserved to move on. I don't really have a problem with any of the other results besides that one, though. I was pretty much in line. This was not a close bracket. This was filled mostly with a lot of blowouts. You know, like the smallest margin aside from that 8-9 seed was, what, 20 points?
Yeah.
This was a set of blowouts, and I pretty much agree with them. I think that the right teams or the right songs won out here.
Ben?
Yeah, I would mostly agree with that. I voted for Can't Help Falling in Love with You by UB40 over I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. Not because I love UB40. I don't think British reggae is really my jam. But I voted against that Aerosmith song like on principle, like out of hatred. I voted against that song, and it won emphatically. And I don't think it will advance super far. Because it's like Aerosmith's, I looked back through, and I think it's Aerosmith's only number one hit on the Hot 100. And that feels wrong to me. Like, that feels dirty. Not only because the song is bad, but because, like Tom was saying, some of these, you know, you associate the music video to it. Like, that has its own cachet and its own way of influencing how some of these votes are going. And there's just something weird about Steven Tyler singing this song to a music video of Ben Affleck kind of getting dirty with his daughter. Now, and I know that Liv Tyler was the subject of a lot of Aerosmith videos in the 90s once, you know, she became a woman. But that whole dynamic always felt just a little off to me. It felt very... not to get too political, it felt very Ivanka Trumpish, and I was never okay with that. So,
shout out to the crying video.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big shouts to the crying video.
Big shouts.
And I think that I Don't Want to Miss a Thing probably got that's a TRL video, right? Like,
yes.
Not very only bad. Were we linked to a massive summer blockbuster. Like, head, you know, big stars across the board, disaster movies, which, you know, very, very trendy. But also, it was just continuing to get cycled there in that TRL world where the videos just every single day being just sort of, TRL got everyone's attention and then, like, continued to reinforce the whatever song was going to be popular, even if it wasn't as good, as you mentioned, as the rest of the Aerosmith catalog. It certainly was going to end up getting a lot of attention from the people who are going to end up voting on Twitter. Okay, I'm going to say that so we got to talk about Smooth. What is the ceiling for Smooth?
It could lose in the next round. I don't think it will. I think that in a way we talk about like the impact of the song itself and the video. I think in a way Smooth in this Twitter world kind of became a meme on its own in a way. Yeah. So I think just that kind of internet culture with the song could end up pushing that one pretty quickly.
So it could advance ironically. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It could advance because people are like, oh man, it's a hot one. You know, like they could just do that. But I think based on merit, you get to like this, the Sweet 16, let's say it gets past Vision of Love by Mariah Carey, which I would imagine that it would. You're either going up against The Sign or Jump.
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I think those are two bona fide hits. They still slap. Smooth, because it's such a caricature, like to me, it's either going to win in its own blowout because people are just so committed to the meme cause, or it's finally going to lose on the fact that it's an inferior song to either of those other choices.
It's Gonzaga.
Just kidding. Oh. So that means it's going to lose in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go into like next weekend, but
Smooth.
I don't know that I have it.
Smooth is the ironic, they're going to run into a heavyweight, just like Gonzaga runs into like a 3-seed Kentucky in the Sweet 16 and loses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way more NBA talent on Crisscross than the Rob Thomas and Santana. All right. So these are the regions that you can vote for right now. First round matchups, the CD region. Number one seed, I Will Always Love You, going up against the 16 seed, Lisa Loeb, Stay. Ooh, we've already had two 16 over ones. That's going to get dicey. 8 seed, Save the Best for Last, Vanessa Williams, going up against the 9 seed, Too Close. 5 seed, Black or White, Michael Jackson, going up against the 12 seed, No Diggity by Blackstreet, another dangerous 12 seed. Dream Lover, 4 seed Mariah Carey going up against Believe. Don't forget that that Cher brought autotune to everyone's lives. She did it first.
Thanks, Cher.
This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan. Still slaps. 6 seed going up against Hero, an 11 seed. Unbreak My Heart, Toni Braxton. Oh. What a ballad.
Oh, that I hurt. Listening to Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. I mean, that girl was in a lot of pain.
I don't know who did it,
but she's in a lot of, I don't know who hurt you.
And in a weird way, are you glad? Would you want to thank them?
Well, that's like the woman who inspired Every Rose Has Its Thorn. You know, she's walking around going like, yeah, that was about me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a point of bragging that you actually broke Bret Michaels' heart, which if you've ever watched Rock of Love, you realize is impossible to do. So, yeah, there's a little bit of bragging rights associated with that. So, yeah, to the man who broke Toni Braxton's heart, we tip our cap. Thank you very much for that.
Shout out Rock of Love back when dating shows were real, damn it.
Yeah. would that be like Rock of Love and Flavor of Love? Which one came first?
Flavor of Love.
Yeah, okay. Flavor of Love was better though.
7 seed Celine Dion, Because You Love Me. Celine Dion all over this place, and Genie in a Bottle at a 10 seed Christina Aguilera. That's gonna be one to watch because if Genie in a Bottle can pull off a couple wins, boy, the bracket opens up. 2 seed End of the Road, More Boys to Men, going up against a 15 seed Emotions, Mariah Carey. Boys to Men, Mariah Carey, all over this.
They're together as a 1 seed, and then here they're against each other as 215.
Ben, anything from the CD region that you're looking forward to seeing play out on Twitter here in the next day or so?
Yeah, I think Genie in a Bottle makes a little bit of a run. Christina Aguilera, look, there was always the Christina or the X-Tina, as she rebranded herself in the 2000s. There was always the X-Tina Britney Wars. X-Tina's got pipes, man. Like, she actually...
She's the much better singer.
Yeah, she had God-given talent. And I tell you, This Is How We Do It. It's going to be one of those, like, those power five schools that caught hot, like, at the right time in their conference tournament. and all of a sudden they like make it to the Elite Eight or Final Four. They're going to be like, I think South Carolina was a lower seeded team when they made it to the Final Four, but they got a little bit of like South Carolina vibes to me.
Sindarius like, Thornwell taking down Duke in Madison Square Garden kind of vibes.
Yeah, right. So because like a good song, but maybe a little bit overshadowed. But I feel like when people were like, because remember, all of these songs, they have links. So if you go to the story on CBSSports.com, you can go back and you can listen to all these songs if you're uninitiated on any of them. But when you pull up This Is How We Do It, those 90s Nickelodeon vibes are going to start coming back. And that nostalgia is going to hit. Your pupils are going to dilate. And you're going to vote for Montel Jordan.
Yeah, I think we could easily see a regional final here of No Diggity versus This Is How We Do It.
Oh, 100%. Man. I hope so. But it's not in my hands. It's in the hands of the listeners and the readers. All right, the cassette region also open. I'll Make Love to You, Boys to Men. That is a one seed, and the stats to back it up. Great net ranking right there. But going up against a tough one in Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. We got Baby Got Back, Sir Mix-a-Lot as an 8 seed against The First Night from Monica as a 9 seed. Informer by Snow as a 5 seed going up against Wannabe. Oh, man, is that going to be another 5-12 upset with the Spice Girls at the 12 seed? Yeesh.
I hope not.
Fantasy, more Mariah Carey, 4 seed going up against the 13 seed, No Scrubs. And even more TLC over here in this region as Waterfalls gets a 6 seed, TLC 3. Is it just 3 in the field?
Yeah, it's just those 3. It's Waterfalls, Creep, and No Scrubs. I know we got to see the voting on this. TLC might get some rep.
Yeah.
They might get some representation in this in like second weekend here.
And if they don't, Left Eye will burn your house down.
R.I.P.
Hashtag rest in peace, Left Eye Lopez. Goodness gracious.
Waterfalls, TLC going up against The Power of Love, more Celine Dion. I'll Be Missing You, Puffy, going up against Vogue by Madonna. Ooh, that feels like a low seed for Vogue, right?
Yeah, so Vogue is, and that's, we mentioned Take a Bow earlier. We don't feel like that's Madonna's best song. We don't feel like that's her best song. Vogue, because Madonna really, like, I think hit another – I mean, she always, like, reinvented herself. But she really hit some strides in the 90s where you look like Vogue and Ray of Light didn't make, like, the field or anything. But, like, her late 90s were really strong too. Vogue is a jam.
I agree.
Mean, that's a real one. And if you're going up against Puff Daddy trying to sample the Police, I will take Vogue any day of the week.
Yes, please get Puffy's I'll Be Missing You out of here.
Yeah. I will say Puffy's Can't Nobody Hold Me Down, strong song. Interesting matchup going up against Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
That's going to be a real style difference. People are going to really tell you who they are in that voting right there.
Yeah.
There's no in-between on that.
Is there a Prince version of that song somewhere?
What, Nothing Compares to You?
Yeah.
No, I think he just wrote it. I don't think he actually ever performed it, did he?
No, I've never heard a version of Prince performing it, but that's like part of the Prince like elite songwriter argument is that he had a smash and just kind of like slid it across the table to Sinead O'Connor. It was like, here, why don't you take this one right here? Nothing Compares to You going up against Can't Nobody Hold Me Down. And then at the bottom of the bracket, 2 seed, Brandy and Monica's The Boy Is Mine. Whew, great song. Going up against Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy, a 15 seed. Ben, what are some of the peak spots there in the cassette region that stand out to you?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, I think Gangsta's Paradise has a real shot. I think we might see 3 16 over ones. And then also, you mentioned Wannabe as a possible 5-12 upset. I almost wonder if that has like the opposite effect of, how like we talked about Smooth as almost like a caricature of itself, like a meme of itself. I almost wonder if Wannabe kind of falls under that same thing. Like, I don't like Informer is not a good song. Like, I don't
what?
Like it.
No, Licky it Boom is, Down.
What's that?
I said a Licky Boom Boom Down.
God. is not a good song. Wannabe might get past first round. I don't think it gets past second round.
Oh, yeah.
I think Wannabe is a little bit of a meme of itself. So
I think
not feeling it.
I think Fantasy and No Scrubs, which is the 413 paired with that 512 in the Greensboro region, the winner of Fantasy No Scrubs advances to the next round, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And those are strong too, because Mariah Carey, 50 number one hits. That one's actually probably my favorite. Fantasy is probably my favorite Mariah Carey song.
Tom, what stands out to you about the cassette region?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see both TLC songs run into each other in the regional final.
A couple SEC teams, a couple TLC teams.
Yeah, I look at the path. I think Vogue, I do hope Vogue gets past Puff, and I do think Vogue and Waterfalls will be a hell of a second round matchup, but I do think Waterfalls would squeeze by. And I definitely think Scrubs, if it gets past Mariah, is definitely getting to the Sweet 16, where it's probably going to run into maybe Baby Got Back, just again, kind of in that vein, or not vein, but just kind of that ironic meme-y sense. And that could be tough. But I really don't think, I think that I would consider them both two favorites to get to the Elite Eight in this bracket.
TLC.
I would say the set region is the hardest to gauge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can go right now to the Cover 3 Podcast Twitter page at Cover 3 Podcast to be able to go and vote on those. We'll be chanting TLC like they chant SEC. I mean, we got so many different ways for you to see how Boyz II Men and Mariah are going to try to flex their dominance from the 90s, even as they're going up against each other. A lot of storylines to track here in our 90s pop music bracket, which you can go and check out on cbsports.com. Vote at Cover3 Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Ben Kercheval. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tom Fernelli. You can follow me, at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, any final thoughts as we turn this wonderful process over to the listeners and the readers and the viewers so that they can let their voice be heard and play their part in this March Madness?
Vote your conscience.
Yeah.
Ben?
No, I can do it. I can work with that. Vote on what you think is the song that still slaps. And if you're going to vote like her, it's the hot one, and you're just going to vote Smooth all the way to the championship, I don't know that I have time for you. But if you're going to vote based on the fact that, you know, you think Santana is one of the greatest guitar players of all time, then okay, I can work with that. So yeah, vote your conscience, vote, on merit. And if you do that, then I tell you what, if you do that, I think we have a lot of lower seeds in the final four.
We've got the rest of the first round will be this week. The second round voting starts Monday. Sweet 16, Elite 8 will follow that. We'll be back with Ben next week to review some of the results and preview the next edition of the voting. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
See ya.
To normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves, demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.